Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you on board with us once again this morning as we face the issues. It's a joy to come to you by way of radio each day and discuss issues I believe that are current, issues I believe that Christians and conservatives and each individual as an American citizen we need to be aware of. We need to face them, and we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. After all, the Word of God is the final source for every issue that we're faced with in life, and it is the book of truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the Word of God. He had already told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this very carefully and very concisely. Each and every issue we face in life, God has already given us the pre-written answer in His Word, in the Word of God, the Bible. I believe that God has not made an error. I believe that God has, in fact, given us a definitive lamp under our pathway and a light under our feet that we need as the guidebook and the roadmap for life and living in every aspect, whether it's in the home or the church or in a profession or in the political realm. I believe God has given us His Word as the roadmap, as the directive for how we ought to live and how we face the issues that we're faced with each day. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you the new telephone number for a call-in for our radio call-in dialogue and discussion for the broadcast each day is 831-0917, 831-0917. Invite you at any point in time during the course of this broadcast to jump in to the dialogue and discussion, ask your questions, give your insight, and let's have dialogue and discussion on its Q&A program designed to face the issues with you, our listening audience, being a part and parcel of the program as we face the issues each day. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that's kind of alarming taking place in our society today. All you need to do is look at the circus going on in Washington and realize that our nation's in trouble, our constitutional republic's in trouble, our representative form of government's in trouble. And it's simply because, ladies and gentlemen, we have cast aside the moorings and the fundamental foundational straps, if you will, that hold us as a nation together. And that is being undermined and destroyed. We are devolving, rapidly devolving, into a democracy. That is where mob rules. We're rapidly devolving into a position where the socialist agenda is getting hold and getting traction, if you will, to destroy our nation's warp and woof. That's the absolute fabric of our society. One of those factors, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm alarmed by, bothered by, and greatly distressed by, and feel that we need to face it as an issue, is what's called climate change. Climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe God's Word, the Bible, gives us the definitive answer on that. Now, most have not faced it on that basis. Most look at it with so-called scientists and so-called scientific methodologies. And by the way, out of about 1,000-plus scientists, there are none of them that's in a general consensus as to the cause and effect. There's some that out-and-out deny it. There's some that out-and-out embrace it as though the world's coming to an end. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the things we're finding in what is the so-called Green New Deal today. Cortez new representative, Ocasio-Cortez, introduced a bill that every Democrat and every socialist running for president in the 2020 race, they are affirming what is called the Green New Deal. So just what is the Green New Deal all about, and is it biblical? the essence of the Green New Deal, ladies and gentlemen, is simply as follows. Let me just give you a little outline that you might be able to hang on to and understand what this Green New Deal is all about. The Green New Deal says that the world will come to an end in 12 years. Now, listen to this. We have intelligent people in America. We have those that are the feel that they're in the realm of the intelligentsia of our nation that's domiciled in Washington, that feel that they know more about what we should do as human beings than God knows. And they're telling us, and all of them, by the way, with AOC that's made this statement and her Green New Deal bill, by the way, it was when it was put to vote in the Senate, not a single Democrat voted for it. Not one Democrat. They all just simply voted present. It was 57 to 43, with the 57 saying no to the Green New Deal. Nevertheless, they're still pushing the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal says that the world's going to come to an end in 12 years, and it's because of climate change or global warming, or the cooling effect, whichever nuance you want to look at or listen to, whichever loose likes lost liberals you want to hear. They said the world's going to end in 12 years. And in the meantime, one of the causes of this is the fact that we have so many things that need to be stopped. And that is, the world's going to come to an end in 12 years unless we outlaw all combustion engines. We must stop eating beef. After all, the cows expel gas, and that gas is destroying our global environment. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if you find that kind of a caricature in your mind or funny, strange, that all of a sudden livestock on earth expelling gas is going to destroy what God's created and what God's put into effect. And somehow that means the livestock has more power and authority and control over the earth and its destiny than God does. And also, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying that we must cease using any gasoline-powered engine, including airplanes. In fact, may I remind us, they're saying that coal and oil and natural gas and anything except electricity or electrical power must be outlawed. All buildings, ladies and gentlemen, this is the most ridiculous of all of the statements and the things that's inbuilt in the Green New Deal. All buildings in America must be rebuilt or retrofitted to comply with this new proposed Green New Deal. The Office of Management and Budget, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it was their office, that determined that to institute this kind of program, the Green New Deal, would cost the American taxpayers about $100 trillion. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't even count that high. $100 trillion, according to one analyst, said that that would be approximately $650,000 per person in America today. In fact, the $100 trillion is more than the sum total of all of the world's reserves of money. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. The sum total of this rationale is linked to the so-called climate change. That's the bottom line. That is the essence of what this Green New Deal is about. Supposedly built upon the theory, the philosophy, the ideological bent, persuasion of the left, that somehow, some way, man is destroying our climate, destroying our ozone layers, destroying the atmosphere, which is going to cause the world to implode. And ladies and gentlemen, this Green New Deal is proposed for America, not understanding, and somehow the public is not supposed to recognize that America produces a minuscule amount of the so-called carbon and the carbon influence on our atmosphere and what it's doing. China, North Korea, India, Russia, and I could go on and on and on with the nations around the globe that's also spewing into the atmosphere all kinds of things that can be harmful and dangerous, but yet the world's still standing. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be bad stewards of what God has given us. I'm not trying to indicate or say that somehow, some way ought to just disregard planet Earth and say it can survive on its own. We need to do nothing. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, what were climate scientists predicting in the 70s? Subtitle on this, the climate myth. Ice Age was predicted in the 70s. Many publications now claiming that the world is on the brink of global warming disaster, and the same about were about the impending Ice Age some 40 years ago. Several major ones, including the New York Times, New York Magazine, Time Magazine, and Newsweek, have reported on three or four different occasions the shift since 1895. Mainstream media says what the scientific census is was in the 70s regarding the future climate. The most cited example of 1970s cooling prediction in 1975 Newsweek article, The Cooling World, that suggested cooling may portend a disastrous decline for food production. The 1974 Time magazine article called The Ice Age painted a similar bleak picture. The meteorologists take an advantage average of the temperature around the globe. They found that the atmosphere has been growing gradually cooler for the past three decades. The trend toward the trend shows no indication of reversing. Climatological Cassandra are becoming increasingly apprehensive for the weather abbreviations. They are studying many of the harbingers of the, quote, coming ice age. Ladies and gentlemen, that was between 1965 and 1979, where we were told that, especially in 1970, 72, 73, 74, that in 20 years, we would have a new ice age in America. There would be no way that food could be produced. Crops would absolutely be devastated. There would be no food for the world. Here's another article that says how the global cooling story came to be. Nine paragraphs written for Newsweek magazine in 1975 contained the lump sum total 40 years of climate science. It is a record that its author is amazed over. Dateline Boston. Temperatures have plummeted to record lows on the East Coast, and once again, Peter Gwynn is being heralded as a journalist ahead of his time. Gwynn was the science editor of the Newsweek 39 years ago when he pulled together some interviews from scientists and wrote the nine-paragraph story about how the planet was getting cooler. The article goes further to talk about then Lou Dobbs on Fox News. This cycle of science, if we go back to the 70s, he said, the fear then was global cooling. Rush Limbaugh said, I call global warming a hoax. A 1975 Newsweek cover was going to talk about the coming ice age, so they're really confused as to how to play this hoax on America. And I could go on and on and on with dozens and dozens and dozens of pages of articles that I've accumulated on the subject. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, originally back in the 70s, the global alarmists were screaming that the world was coming to an end, that the world was becoming a literal ice cap. A new ice age was upon the world. Ladies and gentlemen, so from the ice age hoax, we hear global warming. The earth is getting hotter and hotter. One day, it will simply fry as being in a fry pan filled with cooking oil. Now, simply put, America is being sold a bill of goods by the socialist Democrat alarmist. Why would they push the Green New Deal? Simply to make some way and to develop somehow the American citizens into slaves. This kind of legislation would make dictators of tomorrow and would make us, we the people, slaves and subjects to their tyrants and their leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little brief understanding of what needs to be comprehended at this juncture. Those against guns own guns. Those that are against walls live behind walls. Those against jet airplanes fly in them. Those against fossil fuel use it every day. Those who would outlaw all meats and airplanes and gasolines and anything of that nature simply are using them. When guns are outlawed, only the outlaws will still have guns. Al Gore, ladies and gentlemen, has never stopped using big jet airplanes and huge automobiles and combustion engines, but yet he says that those very things are causing the global warming and the climate change in the world today. The new Green Deal will only, if you will, keep the citizens beneath the dictators that's leading in that. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a situation that should prove in our minds the irony of it. If you are concerned, if you own a company, corporate entity, and you're some way going to have some kinds of material going out into the atmosphere, then you can buy what's called carbon credits. Listen, you can buy carbon credits. Buying carbon credits is like buying indulgences in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th centuries in Roman Catholicism. It does not prevent sin. It allows sin, but it doesn't help prevent it. If that is the case, if we're destroying the atmosphere, how can you put into an account buying of carbon credits? You're paying money to keep on polluting if we're really, in fact, doing that. Does that make sense? No, it simply points to the fact that what we have is an attempt out of the UN, that's the United Nations, to have global control over all nations by requiring carbon credits to be purchased through the Carbon Credit Bank, which, by the way, Al Gore through the UN established back in the late 70s. It was a methodology by which we could be subservient to a globalist agenda in the world today, and a globalist agenda being promulgated out of Washington even at that age state in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, how should Christians view global warming or the so-called climate change hoax, as I openly call it? Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're invited to call 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in this dialogue and discussion, perhaps you're concerned about it. Perhaps you have a nonchalant attitude that it doesn't make any difference, but it does, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be informed, and basically, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we need to depend on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God for our final definitive answer and not listen to the hoaxers and the hucksters coming out of Washington, and those are the alarmists saying that we're going to implode as a nation, as Americans, in 12 years unless we allow the globalists to come in and control us through the UN. And that's exactly what the Green New Deal is all about. How should Christians view this global warming? How should Christians look at climate control and what I call the hoax? Does the Bible give us any insight about this issue? Should Christians comply with the attacks, the scare tactics being used? Should we allow our children and our grandchildren to be brainwashed by the voodoo science that's being produced and put into our textbooks in our schools for our kids and grandkids to be indoctrinated with? First of all, I want us to examine a few facts. I want us to look at these facts scientifically. Then we'll see what God's Word says about it. And every Christian must be reminded that in the beginning, God created. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God created the heavens and the earth, according to Genesis 1:1. And God is sovereign. He's in control. And there's nothing that is not under his control if he is sovereign, and he is. He is control of the winds and the waves. In fact, remember, Jesus spoke, "Be still," and the wind ceased in Mark 4:39. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God. He is controlled of the winds and the waves. He is controlled. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever wondered why all of the ice melts, goes in the streams goes in the rivers, pours back into the oceans, but yet the oceans never overflow and flood the world? Have you ever wondered how that is possible? It's because of the absolute symmetrical balance that God has for this whole universe. He has it totally balanced. You ever wonder why if the Earth gets 1 degree closer to the sun, we'll melt? If it gets 1 degree further from the sun, we'll freeze? Have you ever wondered how that stays into total balance and control? It's because in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18, it says that Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth, everything that's in the heavens and everything that's beneath the heavens, everything that's on the earth and everything that's beneath the earth, he created. And by him, speaking of Christ, all things consist. You know what that means? That Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, is the divine superglue that holds this whole globe in place and holds this whole world together. Now, I don't know about you, but I have enough confidence in God. I have enough faith in his sovereign control that I'm not concerned about the alarmist one iota and what they try to tell us is taking place. It is laughable, to say the least, as to what AOC is saying that needs to be done. By the way, Nancy Pelosi is no longer the Speaker of the House. AOC is actually the de facto Speaker of the House. She is the leader of the House. She is the one that's making the directions and taking the stand as to the directions that the loose lax lost liberals in the Socialist Democratic Party are taking us. Ladies and gentlemen, it was Jesus that spoke and the wind ceased. It was Jesus that when he spoke the words, the wind ceased. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that spoke and cursed the fig tree. and Mark 11, 12 through 14. And that's green. That's a fruit-producing plant, but it's Jesus Christ himself that spoke and cursed it. Ladies and gentlemen, the question comes to mind, did God listen? This is the key. This is the transition of where I'm wanting to take us today in this understanding. And I'm praying, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you have security in the fact that God is in control. I've said so many times down through the years, if I didn't believe that God's sovereign in control, I would not want to get up in the morning. If I didn't believe that God is in control of this whole earth, regardless of the direction it's going in, he's still in control, ladies and gentlemen. He's never lost control. He didn't create the earth and fling it into orbit and then sit back on the colonnade front porch and look at it in his white rocking chair and a cane in his hand and say, my, look what these human beings are doing and I can't control it. God never did that. God is still, moment by moment, minutely in control of this whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, the question comes to mind, did God design a fragile earth or a resilient one? Ladies and gentlemen, God created the earth and all that is therein, including human beings. So did God create a world that couldn't sustain human activities? My answer is no, 10,000 times no. Why would he create a world that could not sustain the human beings that he created? Would God, it would be like God saying, to an architect or about an architect, be like looking at an architect, saying an architect can design a building so that if someone leaned against the wall, its structure stability would collapse. God didn't create the world in that fashion, ladies and gentlemen. God is sovereign, and his sovereignty he created and so designed our earth and its climate system so as it's self-regulating, it is self-correcting, it is self-sustaining, that it operates like a thermostat cooling the planet when it begins to warm and warming the planet when it begins to cool. It's as simple as that. Maybe I'm too simple-minded. Maybe I just simply have faith and trust in the God and God's power and God's control more than I should. I don't know, but I think that I'm simply being obedient to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have empirical evidence of the heating and cooling cycle throughout all of recorded history. Here's an article that says, embarrassing predictions haunt the global warming industry. It is often said that non-scientists must rely on expert opinion to determine whether claims or alleged catastrophic man-made global warming are true. Putting aside the fact that there is no global warming consensus among experts, in fact, this article, 15, 20 pages, says there are over 1,000 so-called experts, and there's no general consensus at all. One does not have to be a scientist or even a proficient in science to be able to review past predictions and then form an opinion, an informed opinion, regarding the accuracy of those predictions. Suppose, for example, you regularly watch a television weatherman forecast the weather for your area. Would you need a degree, meteorological order, to decide for yourself how reliable or unreliable the weatherman's forecasts are? Warnings have been issued for many decades now regarding catastrophic climate change that forecasted certain trends or occurrences that we have already witnessed. Such predictions have turned out to be very, 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 and the author writes, very wrong. This was certainly the case with the alarmist predictions of the 60s and 70s of man-made activities on Earth were causing a catastrophic cooling trend that would bring another ice age. And it is also the case with more recent claims about catastrophic global warming or climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, this article is very, very verbose in its statements in relationship to the almost laughable condition. Here's a balance of this article. A portion of it says, as the New American reported earlier this year, the desperation and denial among warmists, that is the global warmists, are illustrated perfectly in December. A ship full of global warming alarmists led by climate scientists, hear me, went on a mission to study global warming. Was melting the Antarctica ice. Instead of completing their mission, they ended up getting their vessel trapped in record-setting low levels of sea ice, end quote. Couldn't have happened to better folks. To prove the point, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say, God is sovereign and God's still in control. And that evidence is a fact that it's an impossibility to say that somehow, some way, God's out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, the earth's seasons, the ebb and flow of the waters around the globe are all under the sovereign control of Holy God. Remember, as you go back and study the scripture, in fact, at your leisure, look at several of these verses that I'll share. After the universal flood, that's the Genesis flood, God promised in Genesis 8:22. Listen carefully to God's promise. Now, either we believe God's promise or we don't. We believe that God is sovereign or we don't. We believe that God has the final say-so or we do not. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. I couldn't have said it better myself, ladies and gentlemen. And for the global warmist and for the climate change alarmist and for the hoax about the ice age, it is laughable, if not downright sad, to see what we're doing and the direction we're going. It is an attempt, ladies and gentlemen, if we could do this, if we could pass some kind of global warming legislation through the back door called the Green New Deal, if we could do that, it would put every business in America out of business. It would put us back to the 1700s at the very least as a result of removing all combustion engines, removing all fossil fuels, that is gas, natural gas, oils, and coal, et cetera, et cetera. It would destroy the use of that totally. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the Christian, we either believe and trust God or we don't. Ladies and gentlemen, God commanded that man be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, I take that to be God's absolute command for us. I take that to be literal. When God says it, that settles it, whether we understand it or not. God would not design an earth, ladies and gentlemen, that would be destroyed by obeying his command. And if his command is to replenish the earth, surely God didn't say, well, sure, I sure hope these folks don't go out there and procreate too much because they put one more human being be more than I designed the earth for, one more fish would be more than I designed the earth, just another herd of cattle would be far more than I ever dreamed possible, and the earth that I created would just implode. God didn't do that at all. God pointed out in the scripture, God provided in the creation of the earth all the materials, all the minerals, all the wood, all the coal, all the oil, all the natural gases, so that we would have an abundant resource to absolute sustain all of the human race. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I feel that there is a need for the Christian's voice to be heard, even in this so-called climate change fiasco that's being perpetrated, a lie that's being perpetrated upon humanity, especially in America today, where so many Americans are so, how would you say, open-minded that the brains fall out, that somehow, some way, the philosophy is that if a scientist says that, it must be okay. Well, does that scientist know the Word of God? Does that scientist know the creative control of the universe? And in most cases, the answer is an emphatic no. There will come a day, ladies and gentlemen, however, that God will send enormous global warming in the days of the tribulation. And according to Revelation 16, verses 8 and 9, God is going to scorch the earth, scorch mankind, and it's during the days of the tribulation when God has said enough is enough. In fact, in Revelation 16 and verse 8 and 9, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun and poured, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not and did not give him the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is that we're finding that we may in fact be moving into a global warming climate change. But it won't be because God's out of control. It'll be because God in his sovereignty is doing it. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, the scripture is very, very clear. For the sake of time, I'll just drop down to verse 5. For they willingly are ignorant that of the word of God, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. Speaking of the Genesis flood, ladies and gentlemen. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, that's held up by the word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. One day, ladies and gentlemen, God's going to send the scorching fire upon the earth, and it's going to be designed to judge the earth because we've turned away from God. So there is coming a major global warming day, and that is God's judgment upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.